The text verses for the sermon this morning comes from verses 3 to 8. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, that is the brother of Jesus. Then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Paul wrote this letter to the believers in the harbor city of Corinth. And as I said through many, many sermons, this congregation in Corinth caused Paul many sleepless nights and much anxiety. In the letter itself, we gather that there were division amongst the people in this congregation. There were fractions and frictions, people that thought they were better than the others. I call them the so-called super Christians. They thought that they had all the knowledge and all the wisdom of God. And in this, they looked down onto other people. They were also the people that were contesting Paul's role in the congregation. These people said to the others in the congregation that Paul was not called by God. He was not a real apostle. And in many, many ways, they undermined his ministries. Yes, this congregation caused Paul much worries. And for many, many times, Paul had to over and over convince them that he was really called by God. And in this reading this morning, we see how Paul writes to them, defends himself, and how he's preaching to them the good news of God's mercy and grace. And in our reading also, it's quite evident that his reasoning was typical of a Jewish rabbi. He starts off by making a general statement, which no one could deny, namely that he preached the gospel that they received when they came to faith. He handed down to them the same gospel that he's preaching to them, like a Jewish teacher would hand over his writings and his teaching to his students. And the students would take it further again. And in those days, the students memorized each and every word of their teachers. And they were quite skilled in this. And this reading this morning, the verses for our sermon, was actually a verbatim quote of the original text and original tradition. And this is quite important for Paul to tell it to them. He's not telling them something different. He's not breaking with the tradition they receive. Like the original tradition, he says Jesus rose on the third day. He also appeared to many and several people. We know of 10 appearances of Jesus when he came from the grave. Paul is only mentioning 5, of which to James was quite something different. But Paul wants to tell these people what he is telling them he received. He received it from God. God even appeared to him. And when he says the 12, it's only a technical term, because we know only 10 were present, because Judas was dead and Thomas was absent. But Paul doesn't want to break with the original text and the tradition that he is witnessing to. He tells them, if you argue about the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to 500 men, of which some of them is still living. Go and ask them. They will attest that Jesus was really resurrected from the grave. He also states his own position. He says, Christ appeared to me on the way to Damascus. And although I persecuted the Christian followers of Jesus, God forgave me. And God called me on a mission to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth. And we all know Paul did this with great enthusiasm and zeal. But in this reading, Paul never boasts of himself. He says, it's by the grace of God alone that he managed to preach the gospel. In this reading, actually, he exposes the main and the most important nerve of the Christian faith. Actually, these few verses must be the emphasis of all his letters and all his writings. Because in no uncertain terms, he spells out the real Christian wisdom and truth. He says, this is the only hope and salvation. If you want to experience God, this is what you must believe in. He says, I preach to you one word, and that's the word of God. I proclaimed one faith, and that is in the life, the death, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. He also, in this reading, says to them, this is the only good news that they ever get, because this is the hope they carry with them, the hope of the everlasting kingdom of God. When I studied this text, and after reading it over and over again, I found myself sitting in the study, and I was captivated. And although I preached about this text quite a number of times, as I read this, I could not help but wonder, how on earth could Paul still write to these people in such a polite way? How could he bother to be so nice to these people after they caused him several sleepless nights? How could he bother to write to them? How on earth and why did he have to defend himself over and over again? And really, I thought of my own ministry. And I thought of the many, many times I just wanted to say, now I've done, I've had it, I'm going. I'm going to do something else. And then I came to only one conclusion. Paul did it because he loved them. And on this day that the world celebrates love, I want to emphasize, I'm talking of a different love. Paul had the genuine Christian love for the people in Corinth. He carried it with him. It was in his words, and it was in his life. He obeyed the God of love, the God of mercy. He did not listen to himself. He listened to this God who stretched out his hands to his children. This God who loved first. Paul loved these people with the love that is willing to forget and forgive 70 times 70. Love that is willing to sacrifice despite the costs. Love that cannot be broken or hindered by circumstances or situations of ill feelings. He loved them because Christ compelled him to love them. And he obeyed this God of love. He loved them so much that he did not want to waste one second of not telling them the truth and the wisdom of God's mercy to humanity. Of not telling them about the true meaning of following Jesus Christ. He loved them so much that he did not want them to go to hell and enter into damnation. No, he continued to proclaim the message of God because he loved them and he wanted them to be included in God's eternal kingdom, where there's no barriers, where there's only love, love that forgets and forgives, love that goes on into all eternity. And in this, Paul sets the example for us all to follow in his footsteps, to love, because we are the messengers of God and his everlasting kingdom. You and I are compelled by God to love one another. And it's so important that we show our world this love, this real love, not the shallow love that the world says and proclaims. This love that God had for us. We must show to the world Christ in this new, welcoming and loving way that appeals to all. We have to proclaim this everlasting kingdom in everything we do and say, with joy and exclamation. Our lives must resemble this love and hope in the way we suffer, in the way we laugh, despair, joke, live, eat, and blether, even in the way we agree and disagree. We must go out again and again and tell people about God's love. We can so easily forget that God obliged us to love one another. The easy way out is just to ignore people. I have been good to them. I have loved them, but they did not respond. So I'm turning my back on them. That's not the way God wants us to act. We must continue because he orders us to do. If we say we believe in Jesus Christ, we must love. We must continue to love, even if it means people do not respond to us in love. Because this life on earth is only temporal. We are all going to die, but in Jesus Christ, we have the promise of the new life. The life of God, to be with him forever and ever. And we must live our lives to his dedication and to his glory. We must continue as his messengers on this journey with God, with hope, faith, and love. We are the messengers of God's kingdom through the redemption and the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. You and I are foreigners on this earth, and we must carry with us this key, because you and I receive the key to God's kingdom. You and I have the key in our hands, but we must share this key wherever we go, and we must share it with this loving openness that God gave us all. We mustn't close our hands. Our hands must be open so that others can see this key. I read of a Muslim man who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, "Why did you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked into two directions. And you didn't know which way to go. And there, at the fork of the road, were two men. One dead and one living. Which one would you ask which way to go? Of course, the living one. That is Jesus Christ. May we go from this place and carry this hope and love of God everywhere we go. May God help us. Amen.